Hello and welcome to Odds on Europa League, second leg, last 16 round, with so many surprises actually in the first leg. So let's analyze all the games that we have with Álvaro and Dani. How are you guys?
Ciao Edu, ciao Álvaro.
Hello.
Let's check all 7 games with you. Remember to leave your comments, ask any question to Álvaro and Dani. They know everything about international football and don't forget to press the like and subscribe. Let's go on now with the show. Was not easy, we have to say. The first leg, with so many surprises starting, yes. For instance, with the first game that we are going to analyze, Monaco-Braga. And here, we said that Monaco, they were favorites, but Braga got a very good result at home, 2-0. Perhaps we see a different, same tie as we saw against Sheriff. Braga won in Portugal. They were defeated when they were playing in Moldova. And perhaps now they suffer against Monaco, that again they lost in the French league. Dani, always up and downs with this Monaco.
Yeah, I mean, that's the story of the season, really. Things improved under Philippe Clement, who they got in December, you know, the former Genk and Bruges manager. But yeah, I mean, defensively, this Monaco side has got the same problems that they had under Kovac. You know, conceded already 30 goals in the league so far this season. Only 30% of Monaco games have ended with clean sheet. By the way, you can check all these betting stats on Oddspedia. It's brilliant for all the stats on both to score, clean sheet, number of goals, etc. So yeah, Monaco conceding quite a lot of goals. Only six clean sheets in the last 13 for a team that last year performed much, much better. They lost 1-0 Strasbourg again at the weekend. Deserved to lose. So where can Monaco find hope on this one? Well, first of all, on the fact that the last time they reached the last 16 in Europe, and that was back in 2016-2017, they qualified against Man City. But we need to go back quite a lot of time. They like to score. Obviously, they need to take on the chances. They will rely on players like Ben Yedder, already 15 goals in the league, 22 in total. Kevin Folland is not quite performing as he did last season. They were unbeaten in Europa League until they traveled to Braga. We know that Braga is a very competitive team, and they got very informed forwards. They won 5 at home, Monaco, earlier this year. Then they come on the back of a back-to-back defeat. So, you know, the home record is not that bad after all. 5 wins in the last 7. They need to go for it. So it should be a high-scoring game, I would say. And they're going to go for a both to score in this case, because I think Braga can hurt them on the counter. I remember when they played a Sheriff the previous round, lost 2-0, but a lot of chances, hit the post twice. Both to score, 191.
Mil is telling us Braga to qualify. We have this market also in Oddspedia. 1.45, Braga to qualify. The surprise is now Monaco to qualify. 3.15, Álvaro. Monaco won already 2 games at home in this Europa League against Real Sociedad or Stuttgart, but both with a very short margin, actually.
Yeah, I think that Monaco's stint in the Europa League this season hasn't been easy because they had to negotiate with a very difficult group stage. It's difficult to understand Monaco. I agree with Daniel. This year, for example, they have beaten Marseille. They have beaten Lyon. I'm talking about Ligue 1. They have top a group with PSV, Eindhoven and Real Sociedad. And it's funny how Daniel refers to the defense. Probably his Italian DNA is in him, and he cannot get it out of his system. And I'm always checking about how good they are doing offensively. It's two different approaches.
Different
approaches to life. Why not? Why not? I respect it.
We want more titles than you, after all.
Internationally.
Not
in club
level.
I wasn't criticizing, my dear friend.
No.
I was saying that we have different approaches to football, probably. The thing is that Monaco this season, they are not scoring a lot of goals. I mean, they have scored 7 in the Europa League this season. Of course, they have a very difficult group stage. But look at their numbers in Ligue 1. I mean, if they didn't have Ben Yedder, who is the joint top scorer of the Ligue 1 with Kylian Mbappé, their domestic scoring numbers will be very, very, very poor. when you look at their picture or at their season, I think that we can all agree that the word that defines Monaco is inconsistency. Braga is definitely more consistent, though. They are doing the kind of season that you will be expecting from them, fourth in the league. They lost their best player to Porto in winter, something that happens to, you know, pretty much every Portuguese side. They are clearly incapable of reaching Portugal's top three, but, you know, I think that they are doing well. Their defensive record stands out over their offensive production, that's for sure. And in the last game against Monaco, in the first leg, their best scorer, Ricardo Horta, didn't score. However, Abel Ruiz and Victor Oliveira did the job for them. In the weekend, they lost to Gil Vicente, but anyway, I don't think that this matters so much for this game. So, you know, the draw here is not so difficult for me. It's quite a no-brainer. I mean, with the away goal rule not existing, this tire is still open, that's for sure. None of these clubs have scored goals with ease this season. So I'm going to say that the goals market, like under 3.5 goals, is something that catches my eye. That pays 142. Not a lot, but I'm not going for under 3 because if the game goes to extra time, this can obviously slip off from your hands. And why not? Maybe you can commit to Asian Handicap plus 1.5 for Braga. If they lose by one, you win. That pays 157. I don't think that this is the tire to go for big money. I will stay very cautious here. So, under 3.5 goals, yes, Asian Handicap plus 1.5 for Braga. Yeah, it's a yes for me too.
And I mean, if you think about Braga, remarkable, you know, very well coached by Carlos Carvajal, they could be the last Portuguese team to stand in European competitions after this week. So, you know, great, great credit to them.
We have to remind that the odds are until the full time, 90 minutes. If there is extra time, you don't count the goals or the full time market. If you go for the outright market, Braga to qualify for sure, for Santa, Armin, Monaco to win. Of course, they have to attack and they have to put a very offensive team if they want to hurt Braga, as we saw that Braga was hurt in Moldova, for instance, and even away, they lost this season against Red Star or Mistilan in this Europa League. So they are consistent at home, but not away. This is Monaco. Braga, the most appealing, I would say, the best game we saw in the first leg was Atalanta-Leverkusen, 3-2. The upper hand is in the for the Italian side, but we are seeing a different phase when they are playing domestically. They were unable again to score against Genoa, and I guess they are fully focused in this Europa League. So is Leverkusen, that a team that was lost against Cologne also in the Bundesliga. Perhaps, Álvaro, we expected many goals. We expected a very good game in Bergamo. We saw it. Perhaps we see exactly the same in Leverkusen, a fully attacking game and a lot of goals.
100%, Edu. I totally agree with that. I think that Daniele and I both got it right, and probably you would have gotten it right if you could give your tips here, because Atalanta Bayer Leverkusen was always going to be a game with attacking sequences, goals, and all that happened. Yeah, so I'm expecting the same thing here. And Leverkusen, they were very efficient against Atalanta. I would say they lost, yes, of course, but they had two shots on target and they scored two goals. In the weekend, that has to be said, this has to be said, they lost to Cologne, but more importantly, they lost Florian Wirtz for the rest of the season because he torn his ACL. So, you know, he will miss the remainder of the season. Very bad news for Bayer Leverkusen. And it's very bad news for them because their third position in the league is now more in danger than ever, because RB Leipzig are gradually climbing up in the table and they look like a very fine oil machine right now. Last week, I went to both teams for both teams to score and over 2.5 goals for this game, and it worked. So I can see this happening here too. Why am I saying this? Because Leverkusen has scored in every game this season but three. They didn't score against Cologne, they didn't score against Wolfsburg, and they didn't score against Ferencváros, but they were already qualified for the next stage of the Europa League. So Leverkusen are normally scoring even when they lose. And Atalanta, I know, strangely, they haven't scored in two of their last three games, but if we see the big picture, they have scored 10 goals in their last five games. So, yeah, goals, goals, goals is what I am expecting here. Both teams to score 151, not a lot, but, you know, a marginal win, you can call it that way. Over 2.75 goals, 174, I like this one too. And over 1.5 goals in the second half, 181. Those are my three suggestions.
I agree with Alvaro. The goals market always has to be looked at when Atalanta is playing because we know how good they are when they are on their days scoring. By the way, they haven't scored in six of the last 10 Serie A games. So they've had some issues as well there, especially against very organized defense. But we also know Atalanta are often prone to mistakes at the back and they do concede. We have seen an Atalanta a bit of hit and miss so far this season, and it's very strange because everyone at the beginning of the season said this is the time Atalanta can really challenge for the title, they can really make grounds into Europe, and then they kind of lost their way a little bit. They had a lot of injuries. I think also in the creative department, since the departure of Papu Gomez and the fact that Ilicic is often injured, they haven't really found a guy to pull the strings there. Malinowski has been brilliant in Europa League, you know, three goals and two assists in these knockout stages, but he's not often consistent. The same Miranchuk, a little bit of it and miss. Muriel seems to play one game well and then three games goes missing, etc. That's why Atalanta, in terms of goal tally in Serie A, they are way, way below their record in the previous two seasons when they were top goal scorers with 98 and 90 goals scored in Serie A. So far this season, they only score 50. So obviously, they're not going to match that record. But, you know, in Europe, I think Atalanta are starting to gain that pedigree, that European pedigree. They are starting becoming more of a, they've always been, you know, a European team in terms of the way they play, but also a little bit more experience. And yes, if sometimes they fall short in the Champions League, in the Europa League, I think that's really when they can shine. In fact, they only lost one of 11 Europa League games. In Serie A, as I said, they are in poor form, only 10 points since January. But, you know, when they travel, they've been okay. They are third in the away table so far in Serie A, although they're not scoring the last three away games. So take this with a little bit of caution, but, you know, considering also the absence of Wirtz in Leverkusen camp, I would go for a cautious bet, backing Atalanta with an Asian handicap 0 in the first half, which is pays 210. So basically, if Atalanta draws the first half, you get the money back. If they win, you win 210. If Leverkusen wins, you lose your stake.
A bit disappointing the season for Atalanta, as Dan is analyzing. Atalanta, they are a shadow of themselves nowadays, Idris is saying. We expected more from them, especially in the offensive area. The double chance for Atalanta, for instance, is 1.69 that many people are backing. The goals market that we all look at that, over three goals pays 1.98. So if there are three goals, you get your money back. These are good options for this game. We have good odds for backing Atalanta with Asian Handicap 0, for instance, as Danny is suggesting. This is going to be a very good game and very important, especially for Atalanta, because they won't qualify for the next Champions League via Serie A, so they have to fight for the Europa League. Then we expected goals in the Atalanta Leverkusen. We were very incorrect in the next one. Galatasaray Barcelona, no one could expect, no, this poor performance of Barcelona. Xavi made so many changes. He tried to rectify in the second half, was a bit too late. Barcelona played very slowly and they couldn't get a victory against Galatasaray, and now they have to play in Turkey. Dani, good news for Galatasaray, that draw in Barcelona, good news for them because they won also the derby against Besiktas, and perhaps now they think, wow, why can't we do it, no?
They could kick on, you know, maybe the season starts now. Unbeaten in the last three games at home, by the way, Domenech Torrent's side, former Barcelona assistant manager, of course. And, you know, you have to say also a little bit of luck at the Camp Nou. Galatasaray only had three shots at the Camp Nou. That's the lowest tally of this Europa League this season. They were saved by Iñaki Peña, on loan from Barcelona, you know. By the way, he did a great, great game against his parent club. But, you know, Galatasaray unbeaten. You wouldn't know the thing about it. Unbeaten in 11 European games. You know, so that's a very respectful record. Although domestically their campaign is poor, they are 11th. They won at the weekend, as you mentioned, against Besiktas. They only kept one clean sheet in the last 12, which, by the way, was at the Camp Nou. Of all the places to keep a clean sheet, you go to the Camp Nou, it keeps a clean sheet. But you know, it is a team that obviously, when he plays at home, changes a little bit of their approach. I would imagine them to go for it a little bit more. You know, this is a team that top a group very difficult against Lazio and Marseille. The win against Lazio home was a little bit casual, caused by a big mistake from Strakosha, but that was back in September. Things have changed. The manager has changed at Galatasaray. I've seen a Barcelona side dominant against Galatasaray. I've seen it dominant against Napoli in both ties. So I can't imagine Barcelona not to go through this one. And I think it could be a much more convincing win this time. So I'm going to stick with the Catalans, and I'm going to stick with Barcelona to win the first half, while pays 191, that's at least where I could find value on Otspedia.
Mm-hmm. Elieza is saying that Barcelona are strong away. We saw it against Napoli in the Europa League. We saw it in La Liga, for instance, against Valencia. Teboga, Barcelona to score in both halves. And Celat is remembering us, Álvaro, that the atmosphere is going to be amazing. The pity is that it's not the Ali Samigen, no? The stadium that we all loved, that atmosphere with Sukur and those times.
Hassan Sass.
Sass, the bold guy, yeah.
It brings so many memories, yeah, that's true. Mm. You know, in the reverse fixture, I was disappointed with Barcelona and whatever related to my tips, because I was saying that Barcelona was going to score in both halves, I believe, and all that. But I still believe that I didn't go crazy at the time. I think that I was trying to put some logic into what I was seeing. And, you know, I think that Barcelona had a really bad game under Xavi that day. But if you see the big picture, again, you will see that Barcelona, they have improved a lot. And they have scored at least 4 goals in the last month, in 4 games. They scored 4 goals against Napoli, as you said, Edu, against Valencia, as you said, both away, against Athletic Club Bilbao, and against Osasuna in the weekend. So Barcelona are scoring a lot of goals because they bought a lot of goals in the winter market. And, you know, some other players like Pedri and Gavi, they're establishing themselves. Well, Pedri was already established, but Gavi especially, establishing themselves up there as regular starters. And yeah, the team is doing very well right now. I think that this game is probably the most important they've got in the last 3-4 weeks, in the next 3-4 weeks, even more than El Clásico, I would say, because El Clásico is going to be very good for them to strengthen their confidence, but I think that Barcelona has to try to win the Europa League. Once you are playing a tournament, you have to try to win it. And Barcelona, I wouldn't say that they've got a big chance of winning it, but they are among the candidates, of course. The other day, I think that Dembélé was fantastic. Dembélé was providing plenty of assists and doing some really magical things. Rabona, even, you know, things that I haven't seen from Dembélé in his whole career at Barcelona. Ferran Torres showed that he's little by little gaining confidence. He scored 2 goals, one of them being a penalty. I did like Barcelona. And when it comes to Galatasaray, yes, I mean, they shut the door very well to Barcelona the other day. They are improving with Dominic Torrent. It took him 7 games to win a game as a Galatasaray manager. But since then, the team has looked much better. By the way, Barcelona is exceeding their salary cap by 200 million. You should know this as well. We got to know that yesterday. So this summer, they will probably have to offload players or to extend Umtiti's contract until 2060 so they can actually bring in some more players. But anyway, that's another story. You know, for
and
this game,
Sergi Roberto is still getting thousands and thousands of euros.
That's mental. I think that, well, Sergi Roberto is leaving in summer because, you know, his contract is coming to an end, and Barcelona shouldn't, by no means, extend his contract anymore, especially for that amount. So, okay, very quickly. I'm not going to for the goals market this time. Because the other day I got a little bit disappointed with myself, and maybe Galatasaray's defense is actually a very good defense. I don't know about that, but I think Barcelona is going to win. So the value there would be Asian handicap -1 for Barcelona, 1.6. The win 2-0 for Barcelona, as they did against Osasuna or against Athletic Club Bilbao, is decent. That pays 240, but you know, away from home, it's still to be seen if Barcelona can be as solid defensively as they are at home. And I like another one, Asian handicap corners plus three for Barcelona, considering that they will attack more. That pays 192. But Asian handicap -1 for Barcelona, 1.6. I like that one. And I also do like what Daniel said, Barcelona to win the first half.
Sergi Roberto and Nuntiti, they are too lucky men, getting a lot of money without doing anything. And Álvaro is right, no? How Barcelona are also pushing for this Europa League. We saw President Laporta bouncing and celebrating with the fans when they won in the Diego Armando Maradona. So, for sure, the club wants this competition, wants to win this competition. Can Galatasaray win? Rick is asking us. The odds for backing Galatasaray to qualify is 6.5. You both don't think Galatasaray could qualify. Let me know if someone thinks in the comment section that Galatasaray can qualify.
Can Álvaro? I say something, Edu? No, I think that it's very difficult that Galatasaray wins this game. But there are two risky bets that are worth flagging ahead of Thursday and Wednesday games. It could be Betis to qualify and Porto to qualify. Both pay 4. And I think that is much more likely than Galatasaray win. And I think that this is something that if you have some spare money and you really like taking risks, I think that the risk is there, but also the value can be there too.
I would check for this one, perhaps the both to score rather than the Galatasaray qualify, because we know sometimes Barcelona switch off in terms of focus, but yeah, in a high-scoring game, maybe both to score.
Mm-hmm. You want a risky bet? Let me show you. Next one is Red Star Rangers. Red Star to qualify 16.5 because Rangers wiped them out in Scotland 3-0. We know that Rangers, they are doing a great season in the Europa League. They were able to beat Dortmund. We were all shocked about that. They drew, for instance, against Lyon, and they did the job in the first leg, Álvaro. The 3-0 should be enough, no? No one can think that Red Star can turn this around.
Daniel is nodding, but...
It happened before. I'm going to give you a trivia later. Yeah. It happened before, so you never know.
I leave it to you, Dani. Say that, because I have that stat as well.
Okay, it happened before.
Go for it,
okay.
Go for it.
Guys, you tell us if you know the answer. Only once in the history of Europa League, a side managed to overturn a 3-0 defeat in the second leg playing at home. Which side and when? Álvaro should know that. I think Edu should know that.
Well, last season.
In the Europa League history. 3-0 and then overturn. Okay, well, we can tell you. We can say at the end.
Last season it happened, actually, next to Belgrade, in Zagreb.
It did. Yes, that was a 2-0 deficit.
Ah, okay, yeah.
That was a 2-0. We're talking about 3-0. There's not been a Zagreb away Spurs. Okay, well, at the end, we can say at the end, Álvaro, if you know it, to say it at the end.
No, we'll say the answer later. Let's build up a little bit of mystery here. But yes, I think that this is very difficult for Red Star. Really complicated. Glasgow Rangers, they not only dominated at home, but also they were clinical when they had to be. And I do know that Red Star weren't terrible at all. In fact, they got 3 goals disallowed at Ibrox, which tells you that at least they were getting there. They were getting there, but didn't happen. Gio Van Bronckhorst, he rested a few players against Dundee in the second half this weekend. I think that the team is going to be invigorated after the good results that they are getting with the Dutchman. And I think that, I find it very difficult that Glasgow Rangers won't go through here, honestly. That's why maybe I have to go to the goals market. And I believe that over 2.5 goals could be something that could happen, considering that, Glasgow Rangers are scoring, Red Star, they are capable of doing it, especially at home, maybe over 2.5 goals, 190. And then Daniele will give you the answer to the question, to the mystery.
Okay, but first of all, let's build up a little bit of expectation for the Red Star Belgrade side. First of all, they are top of the league. They beat Partizan. Now we are alongside Partizan. They beat Partizan Belgrade a few weeks ago. 3 weeks, 3 games to go. Top of the league. They won the last 6. Only 1 defeat so far domestically in Serbia for this Red Star Belgrade. At home, they've only lost 1 game in the last 2 years and a half. And that was against Midtjylland. this season in the Europa League. Then 2 years and a half ago, they were in the Champions League group. And yes, they lost at home against Spurs and against Bayern. But you would expect that. Last year, they only lost one in 55 games. And that was away at Hoffenheim. So when you go to the Maracana of Belgrade, it's not a walk in the park. And Liverpool, a few years ago, no, they lost there 2-0. Milan, last year, they went there 2-2. It was not easy. Then they just qualify on the away rules. We saw them, how they play on the front foot, how then they can be dangerous with Katai, with Ivanic, you know, also at the penalty saved. It is a team that I like a lot, not only because it's managed by Dejan Stankovic, former Inter player, but, you know, they put a lot of team spirit there. Of course, it is an uphill struggle for Red Star Belgrade, but this is a team that is not used to lose a home. So I would say possibly a high scoring game. Yeah, it could be over a 2.5 goals. And at the end of the day, only Bayer Leverkusen have scored more goals in Europe than Rangers since last season. 40 goals for Bayer Leverkusen, 38 for Rangers. So you can probably be sure that Rangers are going to score one. Red Star Belgrade will have to play on the front foot a lot, but Red Star Belgrade to win, I like it. But if you want to be a little bit more conservative, you can go Asian Handicap minus 0.25 for Red Star Belgrade, which pays 190, which means if they draw, you only lose half your stake. Let's not forget, only one defeat in the last in 55 games. Last season for Red Star Belgrade, they're basically unbeatable at home. And the trivia, well, as we said, only one side managed to overturn a 3-0 defeat in the second leg of the Europa League. That was Valencia. When they played Basel in 2013-2014, they lost 3-0 in Switzerland, won 5-0 at Mestalla.
I had another stat then.
Go on then.
I had another stat. Mine one was totally different and it
refers
Okay. Yeah, it refers to this game. There is a precedent. Red Star beat Rangers 3-0 at home on their way to European Cup glory in 1991. Yep. There you go. This happened.
Mm. It has happened before. Oh, yeah, what a team. They won the final against Marseille in Bari. Darko Panchev, Prosineski, Mihailovic. At the penalties. You know, all the penalties. They won against Marseille at penalties. Great game. Mm.
We have very good odds to back Red Star. 2.34. It looks very good for a home side. Like the Serbian team, top of their league, together with Partizan. Actually, Partizan, they are first because of the goal difference. But they are with the same points. If we go for the goals market, for instance, Celat, both teams to score, something that looks very likely. 1.77. So there are many options to find good odds in this Red Star Rangers. Or if Tebogo says Rangers straight win, you have even better odds, 3.45. Better go for the Serbian side and you have very good odds. Another interesting one that Alvaro was flagging before. Frankfurt Betis, to see if Betis can turn around also this tie. They lost 1-2 at the Benito Villamarín in the middle in La Liga. They beat Athletic. It looks like the team is a bit tired. They travel already this season, Danny, to Germany, and they were defeated, thrashed by Leverkusen 4-0. But Betis, they showed that they have a lot of quality. They even beat Zenit away very recently. And Frankfurt, these kind of teams that are roller coaster, so everything can be open, no?
Yeah, I didn't expect a Frankfurt win, to be fair, at Seville. But yeah, they are strange this season. Frankfurt, back-to-back wins now. They beat Bochum 2-1 at the weekend. They're up to 9. And, you know, this is a team that a few weeks ago, they pushed Bayern until almost the end. They only lost 1-0 thanks to a late Sané goal. So, you know, they got players that, you know, when they are in form, when they're on their days, you know, Filip Kostić, Kamada scored 3 in the last 2, 10 goals in 17 Europa League appearances. They can really cause you problems. It's a scoring game, you know. I think both could score. Eintracht, you know, scored a fair amount of goals so far this season. Betis, when they travel away in the Europa League, normally go on the score sheet. 71% of games of Eintracht so far this season have been both to score, again thanks to the stat odds on Oddspedia. They progressed Leverkusen in each of the last 9 European ties, when they won the first leg. So that's why they are slightly favorite. But again, it could be a both team to score, but it doesn't pay amazingly. So my suggestion would be go for both team to score in the second half when things normally open up. That pays 280. If you want to be a little bit more conservative, just go bet half a unit because it's very close to three. So, you know, you still got a good margin. Bet half of what you normally bet, both to score in the second half.
Both teams to score in the full time is only 1.5, and Betis to qualify, Alvaro, is 4.8. Do you believe in Betis?
Well, a little bit, but I'm not ready to put my money in them. And normally, when I do my bets, I try to bet on things that I really believe in. Here, I've got some faith all together with belief, but I don't think that this is enough to go for a bet, Edu. But yeah, Daniele was very sharp there. I think that the both teams to score in the second half is a hell of a good value for this game. But yeah, let me give you a little bit of background. I mean, the thing with Betis is that this season they've been struggling with German sides. Of course, there is not like a big sample to say Betis doesn't do it well against German sides, but against Leverkusen in the group stage and against Frankfurt the other day, they struggle a little bit with the physicality and the speed of their opponents. And I think that Betis is a little bit more calmed down, a little bit of a Pellegrini type side, of course, because Pellegrini is their manager. And let's see how it goes. At the same time, Betis, they look tired, a little bit tired, because they've been playing like in the Spanish Cup and until the semifinals. They qualify for the final already. But some players are coming back and they look good. The other day against Athletic Club Bilbao, which is a good side of La Liga, they managed to win 1-0. It's true that Athletic Club Bilbao don't score many goals and therefore the threat is not there. But still, Betis dominated the game. I would say they were better. And Fekir, Canales, Juanmi, Borja Iglesias could play together. And if these four play together, that means danger. They've got a problem in the right fullback, in my opinion. Bellerín is, I think, not ready for this game. And he's offering some attacking power that whoever plays there, like Sabalí right now, he just cannot replicate or match. For this game, well, the conundrum here is how Frankfurt are going to approach this as the game goes by. Because I know that they naturally attack, but maybe the game demands them to be defensive at some point, and I don't think that Frankfurt does that very well. I would like to single out a player. Probably Daniele will understand this analogy. Daichi Kamada. He scored a goal in the first leg and he scored 10 Europa League goals in 17 appearances in the competition. He has scored as many goals in the Europa League as he has scored in 87 games in the Bundesliga. And Daniele will understand this analogy. For me, he's the Libor Kozak of Eintracht Frankfurt. Do you remember that player, Daniele, that scored many goals for Lazio in the Europa League, but in the league he never scored?
Of course. Yeah. That was like back 2007, yeah. 2006, something like that. Libor Kozak, yeah, of course.
He had a career for Lazio in which after four seasons at Lazio, he scored more goals in the Europa League than in Serie A. So Kamada is doing exactly the same thing. That's the reason why Libor Kozak was signed for Aston Villa. But anyway, yeah, going back to the game. As I said before, I expect goals. I don't think that Frankfurt knows how to defend, how to approach a game when they have to defend. So over 2.5 goals, 167. I like this one. Over 1.5 goals in the second half. This is the best value I could find. 186. Mm-hmm.
For sure, Betis, they need to attack. And Elieza is asking us for Juanmi, a very important player, of course. Do you know, Álvaro, if he will be present?
Juanmi? Juanmi played against Athletic Club Bilbao a little bit. He should be, but you know, let me triple check that. Okay.
All right. Well, goals then for Álvaro in this Frankfurt-Betis. There is a lot of money if you back Betis to come back in Germany. It won't be easy for sure. And perhaps also there is a lot of money. I'm going to check now. If Porto also turn around the tie against Lyon, I was very surprised with that victory in Do Dragão, 0-1 with Paquetá scoring. This Lyon is so unreliable that they played in the league and at the weekend and they lost 2-4 against Rennes. Actually, they were losing 0-4 in the first 50 minutes, whereas Porto is a reliable team, Álvaro. That's why I was surprised about the result of the first leg. Perhaps we see another cagey game as the first leg, or since Porto have to attack, we see more goals.
Let's see, because Porto is capable of remontadas. Don't forget what they did against Juventus last season. I do rate Porto a lot. I think that in Portugal they have become the best side by far. And Olympique Lyon is even more unreliable than Monaco. I mean, in a good day, they beat you and they destroy you because they got plenty of good players. But for example, this weekend, they received Rennes, and I know that Rennes are doing a great season. Genesio was coming back to his former club and all that. And Rennes won with a great style. So Olympique Lyon, how reliable can they be? They've got good players. Paquetá is probably one of the most skillful South American midfielders of this time. But still, I think that they can have a good day or a bad day. Inconsistent is the word that defines Olympique Lyon at this stage of the season. Porto, again, is much more consistent. They beat Tondela in the weekend. Three goals came from players that started on the bench in the weekend, which is very good because that shows that Porto has some depth in their squad. So for this game, I'm going to go for the following. Asian Handicap plus 0.25 for Porto. That pays 192. I mean, that means that if they win, you win. And if they draw, you get half a win. But an Asian handicap of 0.5, if you like that one, that pays 1.7, is good enough as well. And I'm going to go here for goals market as well. I think that in some other games, I backed goals happening, like in Leverkusen, Atalanta. But here, I think that we can all agree that maybe goals are not that likely to happen. So under three goals, 172, I like that one too.
By the way, I'm completely agree with Alvaro on the Asian handicap plus 0.25 for Porto. That was going to be my tip as well, because I think Porto, you know, I could imagine them playing in the Champions League in the knockout stages. They were in a very difficult group. I can't imagine this Lyon side to do as well as Porto did in the Champions League group stages. And, you know, this Lyon side, they're very unreliable because, as Alvaro mentioned, yes, they lost against Rennes at home. But then they won all the four away games in the Europa League. But then in the Ligue 1, they are 10th. And this is the worst position since 96-97. So, you know, it's not going at all great. Only three wins in the last seven. Only four clean sheets in the last 11 for Lyon. Concede quite a lot of goals. And do they score? Not many, because they score two goals or more only in 8 of the last 17 games. So yeah, going for an under probably is a good idea for a Lyon side. Sometimes struggle to score. But, you know, on their day, with Toko Ekambi, with Paquetá, with good players there, you know, they got also Emerson Parmieri, attacking force as well there. It can happen with Dembélé, of course. Look, let me run you through the last six home games for Porto. Two wins against Nice, so that's good. Two draws, including against PSG, that's good. Two defeats, they lost against Lille. So where do you pick them? It's really, really difficult. Maybe next year will be better because, you know, Peter Bosch need a little bit of time to get the players to assimilate his high-tempo pressing game with a lot of emphasis in the attack. In Europa League, they've been decent. Only two defeats in 22 Europa League games. Let's see what kind of lineup Bosch play. Let's see if he also plays Favre, Aruar, and there. So it's going to be very attacking. But yeah, if you want to go for a Porto Asian handicap plus 0.25, 192, that would be my preferred bet. Or maybe risk it, Porto to qualify.
Porto to qualify, 4.8. Again, same as Betis to qualify. So perhaps it's worth it to put some money in both. Yeah Alvaro. And double chance for Porto, also good value. 1.7. It's been a nightmare to to analyze actually the league and to make predictions, because as you are mentioning and analyzing, guys, Lyon and Monaco, for instance, they are very good players, but they are so unreliable this season. And even Lyon, sometimes in a good way, as they did in Do Dragão. And the last one is West Ham Sevilla, and here perhaps also is worth putting some money on West Ham to qualify, because Sevilla, they are so poor when they are playing away. They are very defensive. We saw it again in La Liga. They said goodbye to their title hopes. And even in the Europa League, they suffer against Dinamo Zagreb in the playing away in the second leg. And West Ham perhaps deserve a little bit more, Dani, in Seville. So they have options, no, I guess.
They do, and I think 1-0 maybe is not a true reflection of how well West Ham started. And, you know, I think recently results have gone, have not gone West Ham way. I think they deserve a little bit more also in the trip to Anfield. They missed a few chances there. The problem with West Ham is they got too many injuries at the moment. Also, Jarrod Bowen is going to miss this game. Declan Rice is going to be fit. So they have to rely on Pablo Fornals, on Yarmolenko, who came back at the weekend and scored and had a good performance, but he was obviously out for obvious reasons. You know, they haven't signed anybody in January, West Ham, and you can tell that this team is not as deep as they thought it was going to be, and in fact, they lost ground on the top four. The last 14 games, and so if we look just at the 2022, conceded 16 goals in 14 games. So not great numbers, but when they play at home, they get galvanized by the London Stadium. In fact, this season, they have scored in all their Premier League home games, and it's really important, obviously, what they can get from the home crowd. Let's not forget, they beat Liverpool 3-2 again in bit of a lucky circumstances there. It is West Ham's biggest game since the 2006 FA Cup final, which they lost against Liverpool. So this is a massive game. You know, they never done so well in Europe since 81. Sevilla, if I'm not wrong, they have won none of the last five away European games.
And three, but, of the last domestic games.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say West Ham a favorite. It's difficult, this one, but I'm going to go for a both to score, which pays amazingly well, 197.
No victories for Sevilla in the last seven away games. And our friend Tom Rennie is putting his hopes in this game. He's been saying, Álvaro, the whole season that West Ham is really targeting this Europa League. And as Danny said, this is the game.
Good for them. I am targeting Scarlett Johansson too. So far, unsuccessfully. I think that the problem here, the problem. Now, Tom is a top guy, and he knows what he's talking about, and he's been saying the whole season that West Ham had a short squad and they should have targeted
In the last video with Joseph and Tom, he said Villa were going to beat West Ham. They won. So, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know what kind of game he's playing, you know. Anyway.
And no, but he's been saying for a while that West Ham United should have signed players in winter. But I think that this game is so affected by the absentees that it becomes super difficult to analyze anything, really. Antonio, they were asking us whether he's going to be out or not. I think that Rick Halley was telling us that. Yes, Antonio is set to be out.
No, should be playing. Game. Should be playing, I think.
Really? Information, maybe, but I thought that Antonio... he's not going to be 100%. Let's
agree
on that.
Sure. Not for sure.
Jarrod Bowen, same thing. He's going to miss probably even international duty with England because he, you know, he was set to be called by Southgate, probably. Few players are not 100%. Maybe Masuaku is back. But Sevilla's absentees are, in my opinion, even more grave. I mean, at the end of the day, Acuña, for example, the other day played 10 minutes against Rayo Vallecano and he got to leave the pitch with a groin injury. We don't know whether he will play, but his replacement, Augustinsson, he has been a joke of a player so far in La Liga. Then, Fernando, he is not having surgery because he's sacrificing his body for Sevilla, but he should have surgery ASAP and he will have it in summer. So many players are missing for Sevilla. Last weekend they had 9 absentees. So, you know, I find it difficult to call this one, but I'm going to go just for something very plain and simple, just experience in the competition. But believe me, anything can happen in this game. So I'm not going to use this game for the ACA. I think that it will be absolutely mental, really. So a double chance for Sevilla. 175, a listener of has flagged that as well, or an Asian handicap of plus 0.25 for Sevilla. That pays 2, meaning that if Sevilla draws, you get half a win. But as I said before, there are so many players out that this game is going to be very difficult to predict.
And Sevilla's Armin is flagging, no? They are deadly in knockout stages. They have the know-how. in the competition, and many times it's been very important. I even remember Palop, no, scoring a header in the very last minute, and then they won the Europa League. It's something that is in the club, as we saw, for instance, with Real Madrid against PSG. We also see with Sevilla and the Europa League, and perhaps we expect a low-scoring game, as Celati is saying. The problem is that it pays very little. Under two goals, 2.27, so it's probably not a good option going there. Under 2.5, 1.74.
Yes, exactly. I think that one is not bad, Edu.
Mm-hmm. 1.74 for under 2.5 goals, Mili. Is Tom Rennie with another nickname and is back in the Hammers in this game. We have very good odds for this Europa League, especially if we go for the underdogs to qualify, Danny.
But I think before we go to the ACCA, we need to talk about the elephant in the room. Leipzig, they are not playing, obviously, they qualify but you know, how good are Leipzig since Tedesco took over? 11 wins in the last 13, they are third, they could leapfrog Leverkusen at the weekend because I think they might beat Frankfurt. And you know, the odds to win the Europa League for Leipzig are 6.5, if you look down the screen, and to reach the final, 3. To reach the final for Leipzig, you know, could be interesting. Yeah?
Very good. They are the second biggest favorites, but because they are already qualified, of course. So someone was mentioning that the German teams are not reliable. Well, we have Bayern Munich, that they are always reliable, and Leipzig, we have to count on them, and perhaps we have Frankfurt and Leverkusen, so it can be a good season for German teams in Europe. This is it. Then you mentioned the ACCA, Danny, so let's listen to your ACCA first.
5 games, Bayer Leverkusen, Atalanta, both team to score, Barcelona to win in Turkey, Red Star Belgrade, Rangers, over 2.5 goals, Olympique Lyon, Porto, double chance, x2, and West Ham, Sevilla, over 1.5 goals, the total odds just short of 10, 9.31, as you can see on the graphic.
Mm-hmm. We have it here in the graphic, you can take notes. And Álvaro, your ACCA?
Yeah, I'm finding it difficult this week. I think that I'm going to go for very conservative bets. Leverkusen-Atalanta, both teams to score. Asian Handicap minus 1 for Barcelona. Asian Handicap corners plus 2.5 for Barcelona. And an Asian Handicap of plus 0.25 for Porto. That pays 7.88, as you can see in the screen.
Mm-hmm. We have very good games. Someone was mentioning the other day that this competition was a joke when Barcelona was playing it. In my opinion, it is not. It's very interesting. We have many good teams, especially this season. And it's full of surprises, as we saw in the first leg. So let's enjoy all the games. Thank you, Álvaro. Thank you, Danny. Guys, tell me in the comments, what do you think? Who is going to qualify? And don't forget to support us if you enjoy our videos. Press the like and subscribe. See you soon.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye.